Ready to start. We got this lesson and one more. And for the salvation, further information on salvation for the website. Tonight we're going to look at the Christian life. When you receive Christ into your life, you receive a new life and you are a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The terms old nature and new nature identify the difference in the lifestyle of a person. The characteristics of the old nature are described in Galatians 5:19 through 21 as works of the flesh. The characteristics of the new nature are described in Galatians 5:22 and 23 as fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is in contrast to the works of the flesh as described in Galatians 5:19 through 21. Works of the flesh are the characteristics of a life without Christ, those who are spiritually lost. Christians who allow the works of the flesh to still be a part of their life are known as carnal. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. A babe in Christ is the Christian who is not growing spiritually. The comparison is between those who are spiritual and those who are carnal. The carnal Christian is the one who is living as though they had not been saved or received a new life. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? The spiritual Christian is growing and maturing as a Christian under the control of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When a person is drunk, they are under the influence of the alcoholic beverage, and their life proves it. Christians are to be filled with the Spirit, which means to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your thinking, the decisions you make, and how you live. The evidence of the Spirit-filled life is that which is described as the fruit of the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, your life will prove to others that you are a spiritual person. Seven characteristics of the Spirit are found in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Two are found in Galatians 5:23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nine characteristics are listed, but the word fruit is singular, which presents the fruit of the Spirit as one cluster of fruit, which means that we are not given a list to choose from. We're not given the privilege of picking that which we like the most and leaving the rest off. The fruit of the Spirit represents our walk of life, which begins with our walk with God. Our walk with God begins with love. Our English word love can be used in so many different ways with so many different meanings, which makes it difficult for our modern society to really think about the truth of God's love. Because love is difficult to define or explain in words, it must be revealed through our life. Love must first be experienced before love can be explained, and love begins with God. The fruit of the Spirit love is the love of God, the same love found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is the love of God that can only be known and experienced through Jesus. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is the love that we receive from God when we receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God that flows in us must be the love that flows from us. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. When we experience the love of God and others experience God's love through us, there will be joy. You can expect joy when you experience love. Joy is the result of love. The joy of the Holy Spirit is not a worldly delight or a worldly gladness. The joy of the Spirit is not the same as the happiness of this world. Worldly happiness is based upon the circumstances of the daily life, when things are good. Happiness is based upon the happenings of our daily life, the way something happens. But joy is based upon Jesus in our life. There's joy in our heart because Jesus is in our heart. The joy of Jesus is not controlled by the circumstances of our daily life. There is joy in Jesus, regardless of what happens, when it happens, or the way that it happens. When Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, he promised us a life filled with joy. John 16:22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. No man or anything that happens can take away the joy of Jesus in our heart. We find that the joy of Jesus can be found in the most unusual circumstances or places. From a dungeon cell, Paul wrote, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Was Paul happy that he was in prison in a dangerous cell? No. So how could there be joy? Because Jesus was with him. Jesus was still in his heart. Christians can walk through all kinds of trials and troubles with the joy of Jesus in their heart. Peter explains why. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Tears may be in our eyes, but there will be joy in our heart because of Jesus. The joy is the love of Jesus in our heart, and that is why we find love, joy, and peace. This is not peace as a result of a good circumstance of life or material security. It is the peace that comes from knowing that we are in a right relationship with God through Jesus. It is peace that can be experienced in the midst of trials, troubles, and all of life's problems. Peace that this world of trials, troubles, and tribulation cannot take away from us. Even though we live in a troubled world, we can experience the peace of Jesus. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The peace of God is freedom from worry. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul said, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, and peace will be yours. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Live for God and don't worry. Your work for God will then be identified as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, called long-suffering, is the result of love, joy, and peace. It is the long-suffering which allows you to be patient with people. Christians must learn to put up with other people. You must be able to put up with people. Long-suffering is being tolerant with aggravating people without becoming irritated and angry. You must be patient when others are impatient and be in control when others are out of control. Long-suffering is the ability to be mistreated without reacting in a negative way. Long-suffering is the opposite of wrath or revenge. We are not to be quick-tempered. Paul gives us a good definition of patience with people in Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another is to be patient with others. Only through God's love can we be patient and long suffering with one another. The evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life is a forbearing love for others. Remember that as Christians, we are God's people. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. As God's people, we are to have a heart of compassion and be kind to others when they're not kind to us. We're to be a living testimony of the mercy of God. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. To be long-suffering toward others, we must exercise the spiritual fruit of love, joy, peace, and gentleness. This word means kindness or goodness, with the thought of kindness in action. Gentleness is acting in a kind, merciful, and tender way, in which others will profit from your actions. Today, too many people are doing too many things that others do not benefit from. Unkind actions are too common among families and church families today. In view of what God has done for us through Christ, we are to be kind to others. As God's people, we are to be clothed with kindness. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Because God has been so good and kind to us, we are to be useful and helpful unto others. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Love continually looks for a way to be kind to others. Love begins the day by praying, Lord, let me be kind and helpful to someone today. And don't let me miss an opportunity to be kind today or fail to be helpful to others. Goodness is a lifestyle of moral excellence, that which our world greatly needs today. Goodness is the opposite of sin, which hurts others and destroys others. Goodness is the desire to be kind and helpful unto others, willing to do whatever it takes to do it. Goodness looks for ways to help and for things that can be done for others. Good people are the kind of people that you like to be around. They are the kind of neighbors you want to live by, the kind of friends you want to have. Those who are willing to give their time for others, those who will sacrifice self in order to help others. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Through acts of goodness, we encourage, instruct, warn, and counsel others. Every act of goodness must be for the purpose of pleasing God and must be motivated by faith. Fruit of the Spirit, faith, refers to the life we live because of what we believe. Our faith is what we live because of what we have learned from God's Word. Our faith is allowing the Holy Spirit to apply God's Word to our daily life. Faith, then, is faithfulness, trustworthiness, dependability, reliability, and fidelity. Faith is the life of the believer who is fully persuaded by the Word of God. Our faith is our faithfulness to the present opportunities of life. Being faithful right now, wherever you are in life, whatever the circumstances of life might be. Being faithful to God at all times, wherever we are, under all circumstances of life. Faith was the beginning of our Christian life, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Our Christian life must continue to walk with God in Christ, Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. To walk in Christ is to pattern your life after his life through faith, Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We walk through life according to what we believe about God's Word and not what we see in this world. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Our daily walk of faith is the real evidence that we are a child of God. Our daily faith in Jesus is a daily walk filled with the Spirit and manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness does not mean spineless, spiritless, weak-kneed, or lamb-like. It is not a word of weakness. It is a word that speaks of power under control. Meekness is the right use of our God-given authority found in the Word of God. Meekness has the thought of a teachable spirit willing to listen to God. Meekness is the attitude of not being too proud to learn. You welcome the Word of God. When you are ready and willing to be taught the Word of God and not opposed to learning. Meekness is submission to the will of God and to the Word of God. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Save your souls refers to our past, present, and future salvation, the Christian life. James compares the Word of God to a seed planted in the good soil of the heart. We must be willing to learn how to live with ourselves and how to live before others. Meekness is the quality of your life because you have allowed God to be the authority of your life. Meekness is when you know that you are under God's control. We will learn that meekness is the right attitude toward others, Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Colossians 3:12, we've already used it a couple of times, and then here again, is another good verse revealing to us the characteristics of the Christian life. Meekness must be put on before we leave the house to communicate with others. Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We're to show meekness to all others, which is only possible through the Spirit's influence. Unto all men refers to all that we come in contact with, especially those who are lost. We must live our daily Christian life in consideration of others, Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We're told to restore a brother in the spirit of meekness, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that's possible, you which are spiritual, that's a must, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We need Christians who are under the control of the Spirit to help those who are out of control. Which is temperance. Temperance is life under control when self is not the master, but self has been mastered. Temperance is when your life is under control, when no area of your life is out of control. Temperance is when you are not out of control because of something that has happened. Temperance is living the disciplined Christian life, being filled with the Spirit daily. Temperance is the result of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity through all the events of our life. It is the control of passions, impulses, desires of the flesh, and self-pleasures. When self-pleasure, money, position, and prestige are all under control. It is the power to say no to the sinful desires of the flesh and yes to the Spirit-filled life. Peter gives us a good parallel to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, and that's love. Verse 8, for if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Peter gives us a list of Christian characteristics and tells us to concentrate upon them. We must be concerned about our daily spiritual life. We must bear spiritual fruit daily. We must never forget that we've been purged from our old sins, that we may live a spiritual life. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we find a list of 9 spiritual characteristics describing the Christian life. The list is not exhaustive. It is not all that the Spirit does in our life on a daily basis. Paul does give us a good checklist to evaluate our spiritual life, but much more fruit can come forth. The value of a Spirit-filled life is found in Galatians 5:23. Meekness, temperance, against such all of that fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. There's no law necessary for the Spirit-filled life. The law was written to prevent evil practice, to restrain wrong. No law is necessary when one lives under the control of the Holy Spirit. The evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life is not what you have quit doing. The real power over sin is more than sin conquered in your daily life. The real power over sin is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your daily life. The fruit of the Spirit is the life that you live daily because you are saved and filled with the Spirit. That's the Christian life. Next week, we're going to look at security of salvation.